Anytime you travel, eating is a big part of the fun. And I think in Spain, it's a bigger part of the fun than in most countries because of one beautiful concept, tapas. We're going to talk today about tapas, and I'm joined by two tapa fans who live in Spain, Federico Garcia Barroso's a Madrileño, a man who's lived all his life in Madrid and takes Americans around Spain, filling them up on tapas. And Amanda Buttinger is from the United States, and she's lived in Madrid for 13 years now as a tour guide, and will give that insight into enjoying tapas as well. Amanda and Federico, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Federico, tapas are unique to Spain.
I really think so.
Explain exactly what a tapa is from a Spaniard's point of view.
A tapa is much more than food. It's just a way of socializing with others. And it's a very, very old tradition in Spain from centuries ago, you know. The word tapa means actually a cover, a kind of a cover thing that they used to put in some of those glasses and some of those dishes, you know, a long time ago, you know, just to keep food warm and to avoid some flies, you know, flying around.
So you get a glass of wine, they would put a little coaster on top of it.
Exactly.
And they would weight the coaster down, mm-hmm. not with a rock, but mm-hmm. with a nice morsel of something tasty.
Exactly.
And that would keep the flies out.
Yeah, but also, it's also important to say that it's coming from a very old tradition in the 16th century, if I'm not wrong. That is a moment in which most of the taverns in Spain, they were just selling wine and wine and no water, just wine. And obviously those places need to offer some food, you know, because people could get drunk easily, you know, and the idea was to eat something.
Okay, so moderate the drinking with a little food. Mm. Now, Amanda, you've lived for more than a decade in Madrid. Tell me about bar hopping. Well, from a tapas point of view.
From a tapas point of view. A lot of times what you'll do is you'll go out with a group of friends, you'll put in a kitty, you'll go from bar to bar, and everyone will pay for a round, and then you eat and stand. A lot of Spaniards like to stand while you're eating and drinking, and so it's a real, you go in and out, and you have to decide where you want to go, and
so it's not
and
a
check out places with you know, as
going,
you walk by.
That mobile feast is not a touristy thing.
No.
And you actually establish a kitty first. So you all kick in 20 euros or whatever.
Yeah. And when it runs out, you ask for more.
I think geographically, the bars are set up so you can have a nice walk through the town.
And you kind of check them out. So, that one, you never go into a bar that's empty. You say, this is empty for a reason.
Because as Federico says, part of the whole concept is not just calories, but socializing.
Exactly.
Conviviality.
Exactly.
Is there a word for a tapa crawl, a pub crawl with tapas?
Tapear.
Taperia.
Yeah,
tapeando.
Exactly.
Federico, take me on a fantasy tapear. Give me four stops. Put it together in the most utopian way. What would you eat in each of those stops? I don't care about the places. Right. Fantasy world. I'm worried about what is going to go into my mouth.
All right. Spanish omelette.
Spanish omelette?
Yes. Spanish omelette, of course. Yes. Absolutely. That is easy, cheap, and good. And it's available everywhere.
Describe a Spanish omelette.
Spanish omelette is baked potatoes with scrambled eggs and some pieces of onion sometimes, and slightly fried on a pan.
Now, you call that a tortilla española.
Tortilla española, exactly, which is completely different to those tortillas that we know in Latin America.
Amanda, that must be interesting for you when you have American friends going to Spain and they say, I want a tortilla.
Oh, yes. When it's on the menu, you say, look, a tortilla. And then, this isn't corn. It's...
And I like that for breakfast. I don't know if that's normal,
but I
go out to a bar and I have a coffee con leche and some fresh squeezed orange juice mm-hmm. and a tortilla espanol.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, what would the second stop? What would you eat on the pub crawl?
We always like to have cheeses, different types of cheeses, a manchego cheese or goat cheeses. A lot of times they'll combine them with pieces of bread or little extra garnishings if it's a goat cheese or a softer cheese.
Spanish cheeses?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Spanish cheese?
The manchego cheese.
Yeah. It really is good. That's the harder cheese.
The harder mm-hmm. cheese.
Right. What do you drink with that?
Wine. Always drink red wine.
Red wine.
That's my thing. Yeah. A lot of people go out for beer, but I like having my glass of red wine.
All right. Federico, the third stop on our pub crawl.
Pimientos de padrón.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Those are the ones that I like. Those tiny peppers, you know, that we say in the Spanish language, there is a proverb about that that says, pimientos de padrón, some of them are spicy and some of them are not. And that is true,
That's a little rhyme in Spanish?
Exactly. Los pimientos de padrón, unos pican y otros no.
And if you've had pimientos de padrón, you know, they glisten. They glisten in a way that just says, eat me, you know?
They
come out of that little hot hole in the kitchen, and it comes right to you, and they're something about the salt and the oil and the freshness and the ambience and the Russian roulette from a taste point of view. Why is that, Amanda?
Because as you're eating them, some of them are sweet. They're small green peppers, so some of them are a little sweet green pepper taste, and then every now and then you get the really, really spicy chili type pepper.
It's specialty of a particular region, isn't it?
It's from Galicia. Yeah.
From Galicia, exactly. From Galicia, next to St. James of Compostela, Santiago de Compostela. Most of those pilgrims, when they end that way, that holy way, they all want to eat those small peppers in Santiago.
Oh, so that's what keeps the pilgrims going for
I think so.
30
I really
days
think so.
Of trekking through the hot and dusty plains. That reward of a plate of pimiento de pedrón. Mm-hmm. All right. That's a specialty of Galicia in the northwest of Spain. I've found all over Spain that there's a sort of a regional pride, and this bar is known for Basque, and this bar is Catalonian, and this bar would be Navarra or whatever. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that, Federico.
In Spain, of course, there is a national pride. It's all about politics. And from a long time ago, this is coming actually from the 19th century. You know, this is not a new story. And there are some moments in our history in which those nationalistic movements are more obvious. I would say that we still see that in Catalonia, in the Basque region, also in northern Spain, and it's likely in other places. Galicia is not really, it would be the third example, but not so deep as the ones of Catalonia and the Basque region.
Is there a little bit of empathy and solidarity for the underdogs struggling against Madrid rule, you know? Mm-hmm. When you think of Catalonians and Basque people and Celtic people in Galicia, do they just feel better going to a Basque bar because the Basques are chafing at the yoke?
No, because the Basques are really good cooks.
Oh, that's why. Okay, because Basque country is like most famous for its...
Absolutely.
The tapas and the culinary.
Many times I've gone to a bar in Barcelona and I just think, this is great. I feel like I'm eating local, and then I realize I'm eating Basque.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It becomes something really, really popular all over Spain. All the Basque restaurants and taverns.
Amanda Buttinger and Federico Garcia Barroso are professional tour guides based in Madrid. They're taking us for a bite and a drink in the tapas bars of Spain right now on Travel with Rick Steves. You'll find links to their websites with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Now, when you're in Madrid, you can travel through the entire country of Spain just by knowing what bars to go to.
Yeah. You know, it seems to be a little bit weird, but it's absolutely true to say that Madrid has the second biggest sea port in the world after Tokyo. I mean, we have such a variety of fish and seafood, fresh fish and seafood in Madrid City.
The second biggest seafood market after Tokyo.
Which is unbelievable. I still don't
Madrid.
Know how it comes, but that's...
How many people in Madrid?
In Madrid, we are nearly 4 million inhabitants.
4 million people just slamming down all those beautiful tapas, and a lot of them are seafood. Because Spanish people love to be out and social, and it goes hand in hand with enjoying a good drink and some good food. What time? Amanda, tell us about the time that you would find tapas as opposed to the times that you would eat in a restaurant.
In the evenings, tapas you can find a little bit earlier than a restaurant might open around 8:30 or 9 o'clock. But a tapas place, you could maybe find one at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it might be a little bit less crowded.
And of course, this is a huge pitfall for American tourists. If you go to a restaurant and try to eat at 7 or 8, you're going to be eating with the staff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they'll serve you at all. It's just a bad scene, and it's a drag. It's empty. Mm-hmm. But you can enjoy the vibrancy in a bar eating tapas. Is tapas for you, Federico, warming up to a meal, or is it the meal itself?
It finally becomes a meal itself, you know. I will say to all Americans that when they come to Spain and they want to eat, they should learn three words. The first one, aperitivo. The second one, tapa. And the third one, ración. I will say those three are actually enough. Aperitivo is absolutely free, appetizer. It's free. Go to any place, order a good glass of wine, and of course you are just waiting for that free appetizer.
And that would be a little open-faced sandwich?
A little bit. Just any kind of food in a small portion.
Okay.
And that is free.
In a good bar. Touristy bar might not do that so much.
Well, actually, let me tell you that there are some places that are not touristy and they don't give you aperitivo, so you shouldn't come back to that place. No,
boycott those places. So traditionally, a good bar will give you a little bite with your drink. Okay, the second word, tapa.
Tapa. Tapa is actually the same food, you know, in a bigger portion, and then you have to pay something for that.
And then this ración, this is an important concept.
Ración would be the next one. It's a bigger portion. A bigger portion. Most of the bars and taverns, they offer you tapas or raciones. Tapa would be actually a portion for one person, and a ración would be something bigger for two or even three people.
Now, a frustration for me, Amanda, in a lot of bars is they're less inclined to offer tapas and they want you to buy, spend more money and get bigger portions and
you can,
half rations,
yes,
and
exactly,
full rations.
Exactly. You can get a media ration.
Media
so
ration.
You can get a half ration. And,
which is going to cost double what a tapa would cost and be twice as much food.
But twice
like
as
that.
Much food. Yeah,
yeah right. Yeah.
But that's a good option if you're with several people, like say four people, and you don't want to just get two different raciones. You can get four media raciones and have a variety.
That
there.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Amanda, how do you choose a good bar just visually when you're wandering on? What do you look for?
I look for people, I look for the wines, and I also, what you can do is you can say, okay, are they going to give us an aperitivo here? And you look around at the other people and say, ooh, everyone with the drink has a small little something. Maybe I'm going to go in that place.
That's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Federico, that's what we
that's a
do.
Very good tip.
Absolutely.
And what else do you look for, Federico, to understand the character of a bar?
Well, just to see, of course, that the atmosphere is quite good, and to find local people, that means something. If you find local people inside,
local
that
people.
Means...
Yes. If you find a lot of garbage on the floor...
Well, then I try to go to another place, you know.
I've noticed that in a lot of bars, they just throw everything on the floor.
Yeah, which is a really bad habit that it's we all have. We have to be critical about that, and that is something that I don't like, but it's unfortunately quite common in many places.
So that, but
especially in the South, I think. In
is
the
that
South,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
The napkins on the ground.
Yeah, it's just like there's no garbage cans. It's just you tossed on the floor. Yeah. And if the TV's on... I kind of like that when the TV's on because it's gathering, you know, the bullfight aficionados or whatever. But sometimes there's some cheesy game show on or some some bullfighting or so on.
Or soccer games.
Yes.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're enjoying tapas in Spain, sightseeing for our taste buds. And we're joined by Federico Barroso and Amanda Buttinger, two friends of mine who live and guide in Madrid and have spent a lot of time in the bars. Drinking beautiful little glasses of wine and enjoying the incredible variety of tapas. Jessica in Chicago emails us and she writes, "We love tapas and eat them all the time in Chicago, so we couldn't wait to try them in Spain. The first trip was a bust. We were intimidated and didn't enjoy it. But the second trip, we did much better because we researched and we pretended we were just locals. It was a much different experience." That's an interesting report from Jessica in Chicago, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I can relate to it. A lot of times I'm intimidated.
It can be intimidating. There's a general system, but a lot of different bars have different systems. Do you go to the bar? Do you order? Do you wait for them to come to you? Do you pay before? Do you pay after? And a lot of times it changes.
That's so. True.
And if you just sit there politely in the corner,
oh, no.
You'll die of hunger.
Even politely at the bar. I have a lot of tour members who are standing politely at the bar waiting for someone to come over and ask them, what would you like to drink? You have to go to the bar and say, hey, I want a drink.
You gotta, and as a tourist, you need to muscle in there. I think this is a very important thing. I'm going to just talk about a few concepts here so people like Jessica can have a little more confidence in the bars. Federico, barra, terraza, mesa.
Mm-hmm. Barra. People stand right there, just drink and eat something quick.
At the bar.
At the bar, exactly. Mesa, a good seat, you know, to enjoy your meal and to take your time. And sometimes, not necessarily, but sometimes prices are slightly more expensive just because you have a table and chairs, you know, and then you have a better place. And terraza. Terraza is actually a little bit more expensive because that is the coolest place, you know, an outdoor place where you can have your food and your drinks and enjoy the weather, you know. That's the way it is.
So a lot of times on the menu, you'll see three price categories.
Mm-hmm.
You can see your tortilla español, and it might be €1 at the barra, €1.50 at the mesa, and €2 at the terraza.
Maybe in that way, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe not that price, but...
Sometimes, though, you might see a price on the menu, and you think, oh, great, €1.50 or €1, and then you get to the outdoor cafe, and all of a sudden they're charging you €1.50 or €2.
Or even much more,
and you think, why did you charge me this? Oh, no, that's the outdoor cafe price.
Maybe, Amanda, you just see, 10% more expensive in the terrace.
In the terrace.
You
know? But that's in the small print on the bottom of the
menu. Yeah, but if you're
the
in the Plaza Mayor in some famous touristy town, you'll probably pay a little bit more to sit out.
Yeah, exactly.
I just love to get a mix. Like, Amanda, you were talking about cheese, and of course you can get a mix of different meats and so on. Federico, surdito is an important word. Is that workable for a tourist to ask for a mix?
A surtido.
Oh, surtido. Oh, yeah. Surtido is actually an assortment.
An assortment
of a variety of different things. In those cases, surtido is actually the best choice. It's just a big, big dish with several slices of bread with some food on the top. And then you taste a little bit of fish, meat, vegetables, you know. Surtido is one of the best choices.
Amanda, banderilla. What does that mean?
It's a little toothpick with an assortment of olives and onions and vinegar and different vinegared type things.
I'm Rick Steves. We're talking with Federico Barroso and Amanda Buttinger. We're talking about tapas in Spain. As you're out and about, you have to be sort of on your toes. I've found that paella isn't expensive in a restaurant, mm-hmm. but if they're serving mm-hmm. it up in the bar and they bring out a plate of tapas,
as a tapa of paella tapa, it's a nice little taste.
That's yeah, a very
sweet
nice choice.
Yeah.
That's my favorite way to get paella, is when it comes out. Spontaneous. And there's sort of a buzz. The whole bar goes, ah, paella. For me, I'll take one. Pulpo.
Pulpo a la gallega. Pulpo is delicious. It's octopus. And they cut it in little discs, their little circles.
So pulpo
and then they put,
gallega style, like from Galicia.
Paprika on top with oil and salt, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Federico, do you get better quality when you pay more for your ham?
Of course, of course. Mm-hmm. Iberian ham, pata negra, black hoof, we could say in English. That is, with all my respect to Italian prosciutto, you know, Spanish ham is absolutely the best.
I will agree with you. I'm an Italophile, and I'll agree with you there. And a lot of people say life's too short to drink lousy wine. I would say life's too short not to eat expensive jamón.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to try that. Amanda, patatas bravas.
Patatas bravas, fried potato cubes with a nice spicy sauce on the top.
A lot of people are very passionate about that. It's sort of your standard, like French fries.
It's interesting because not much Spanish food is spicy. And a lot of people come over thinking it's very spicy or hot or that it'll have more spice in it, but it's not as spicy as you might think.
But the patatas bravas
are.
As a tourist who doesn't speak Spanish, I'm frustrated by the wine situation, and sometimes I feel like they're just tossing me some table wine. Mm-hmm. How do you get a good glass of wine?
They usually offer you two types of wine, a Rioja and a Ribera. The Ribera is generally a little bit stronger tasting, a little
Ribera.
Bit more Ribera. Yeah, a little bit more.
So there's a Rioja and there's Ribera.
Yeah, yeah.
And then and if you want a quality, what
if you want a quality wine, you have to ask them if they have a wine list.
And Federico, what's your tip for getting a good wine?
Well, Rioja actually is one of my favorite
Rioja.
Ones. Yeah,
I like the Ribera.
And then what are the words like Crianza and Reserva? What do those things mean?
It's all about the time that the wine needs to be in those wooden
barrels,
exactly, you know. A crianza, it has to be there for more than 2 years, and a reserva for more than 4 years,
so
if I'm not wrong.
You're talking $1 or $2 for your glass of wine.
Exactly.
You might as well go top end in a bar, right, and then ask for a reserva.
Exactly, for a reserva.
And if you're drinking but you're not drinking alcohol, what's the key word?
You can get a mosto, which is a grape juice. You can get Coke or Sprite or...
And a non-alcoholic beer?
Non-alcoholic beer is sin alcohol. Sin
so if you say alcohol. Without, that means a non-alcoholic beer.
Exactly.
Amanda, if you have a guest who's a little bit wide-eyed and never been to Spain and you want to get them out of their comfort zone, what tapa would you have?
Try the fried pig's ears. Oreja.
Oreja.
Oreja, which means ear.
What does it taste like?
It's crunchy and crispy and...
I like to say it's the cartilage. People like it?
Some people, they like it, but not enough to have a full ration
of
it.
Okay, so share your half ration of pig's ears.
Yes, definitely.
What's the word again for pig's ears?
Oreja.
Oreja. And Federico, you've had a long evening of fun with your friends and drinking and eating and tapas from all over Spain, and you want to go someplace special for dessert. What would you do?
Chocolate. Hot chocolate. Hot chocolate with churros, fritters. That's what I like.
Fritters?
Yes.
Churros.
And to dip those churros into the chocolate, thick Spanish chocolate, you know.
So these are like cigar-shaped donuts, kind of, very greasy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And the chocolate is like pudding almost, isn't it?
It's so thick that it looks to be a kind of pudding. We usually order a glass of water, you know, but that's Spanish chocolate.
Mm. Now, for a lot of people, that's their standard diner kind of breakfast in Spain. But also, if you're out late and you're out dancing or something and you're on the streets at 2 o'clock,
yeah, there are some places. There is a very popular place in my city where people just go there to have chocolate at 2, 4, or 6 a.m.
You know, I think I've gained weight just talking in this last 20 minutes. Thank you both for joining us, and I'll see you in Madrid, and we'll go, what is the word for a tapa crawl again? Tapa?
Tapear.
Tapear. Okay. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Thank
gracias.
You.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton, Casimir Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. Website uploads are managed by Andrew Wakeling. Jerry Frank wrote and performed our theme music. Find out when other radio stations air Travel with Rick Steves. You can find a list of our affiliates at ricksteves.com/radio. And we'll look for you again next week with another Travel with Rick Steves.